Talk number 57, 23rd of June, 1935. Sri Bhagavan said that Sushumna is the name mostly mentioned in scriptures. Other names also occur, like Para, Atman, Amrita. It is also stated that Sushumna becomes Lina, merged in Para. So it may be said that Para is the terminology of Jnana, whereas Sushumna is that of Yoga. A doubt. In Sri Ramana Gita answered, the 24th of June, 1935. Chapter 14, stanza 10 reads, with yet further progress, invisibility may also result. Such a one, being pure consciousness only, flourishes as a siddha. Chapter 18, last stanza reads, the glory of the siddhas is past imagination. They are equal to Shiva, yea, Shiva himself, in being able to grant boons. The meaning is that with self-realization, real and incessant tapas results. With the maturing of such tapas, some jnanis can make their bodies intangible and invisible. They are known as siddhas. Later, quote, the greatness of the siddhas is incomprehensible. They are equal to Shiva and can even grant boons, unquote. There is an Upanishad mantra, which means one desirous of liberation or wealth must serve a self-realized sage. Here is no mention of siddha for granting boons. The jnani can do so. The mantras again say, abiding in his own grandeur, Brahman is infinite, will seem confounding when read with the slokas cited above. All is Brahman. The knower of Brahman becomes Brahman itself. Show that jnani is all-knower. What then is the distinction between the jnani and the siddha, and the ability of the latter to grant boons, implying the absence of it in the former? This was the doubt. The master explained, the Gita questions were asked in a certain spirit. The answers were according to it. People look to the body only, and they want siddhis also. With self-realization, no powers can extend even into it, and how can they extend beyond? People anxious for siddhis are not content with their idea of jnana, and so want siddhis associated with it. They are likely to neglect the supreme happiness of jnana and aspire for siddhis. For this, they are going through the by-lanes instead of the royal road, and so will likely lose their way. In order to guide them aright and keep them on the royal road alone, the siddhis are said to accompany jnana. In fact, jnana comprises all, and the jnani will not waste even a thought on them. Let the people get jnana, and then seek siddhis if they so desire. I have said the siddhis relate to the body because their outlook is concerning the body. A jnani and siddha are not different. In bestowing boons, the boons include the gaining of the self also. The siddhas are not merely of an inferior order, but of the highest order. The sastras are meant to suit varying conditions. Their spirit remains the same. In Halasya Mahima, there is a chapter on the eightfold siddhis. where Shiva says that his bhakta never wastes a thought on them. Again, Shiva says that he never grants boons. The desires of the devotees are fulfilled according to their prarabdha only. When Ishwara himself says so, what of others? In order to display siddhis, there must be others to recognize them. That means there is no jnana in the one who displays them. Therefore, siddhis are not worthy of any thought. Jnana alone is to be aimed at and gained. In Sri Ramana Gita, chapter 17, verse 4, translation in Tamil is incorrect. Sri Bhagavan pointed out the inaccuracy and corrected it. Vedbara's question was, in practice, the thoughts are found to manifest and subside alternately. Is this jnana? Sri Bhagavan explained the doubt as follows. Some people think that there are different stages in jnana. The self is ever realized, knowingly or unknowingly. Shravana, they argue, should therefore be directly experienced and not indirect knowledge. But jnana should result in the loss of misery, whereas shravana alone does not bring it about. Therefore, they say that though directly experienced, it is not unshaken. The rising of vasanas is the cause of its being weak, not unchanging. When the vasanas are removed, jnana becomes unshaken and bears fruit. Others say shravana is only indirect knowledge. By manana, reflection, it becomes directly experienced. The obstruction is its continuity, repeat. The obstruction to its continuity is the vasanas. They rise up with reinforced vigor after manana. They must be held in check. Such vigilance consists in remembering deho naham, I am not the body, and adhering to the direct experience which has been had in the course of manana, reflection. Such practice is called nididhyasana and eradicates vasanas. Then dawns the sahaj state, that is, jnana, sure. The direct experience in manana cannot affect loss of misery and cannot amount to moksha, that is, release from bondage, because the vasanas periodically overpower the jnana. Hence, it is weak and becomes firm after the vasanas have been eradicated by one-pointedness. Sri Ramana Gita, again. Mr. T.K.S. Iyer, a devotee, was speaking of the chakras. Sri Bhagavan said, Atman, the self, alone is to be realized. Its realization holds all else in its compass. Shakti, Ganapati, Siddhis, etc. are included in it. Those who speak of these have not realized the Atman. Atman is in the heart and is the heart itself. The manifestation is in the brain. The passage from the heart to the brain might be considered to be through Shushumna or a nerve with any other name. The Upanishads say Parilina, meaning that Shushumna or such nadis are all comprised in para, that is, the Atmanadi. The yogis say that the current rising up to Sahasrana, brain, ends there. that experience is not complete. For jnana, they must repeat. For jnana, they must come to the heart. Hridaya, heart, is the Alpha and Omega.